In the end, Dell turned from the board to reach for the trophy. "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie. Parker Brown and Malcolm Cavanaugh each end with 134 points." Mal grinned at Parker. "Looks like we share the spoils, Legs." "We could have a tiebreaker, but I'm too damn tired." She held out her hand for a shake. "We share."
Chapter 20. Dell found his opportunity to talk to Emma alone for a good stretch the next day when he suggested the two of them drive to the local nursery to see what sort of plantings she'd like to put in. She jumped on the idea so quickly and enthusiastically he felt just a little guilty. He'd make up for it, he decided, by letting her pick whatever she wanted, even if it meant hiring a local landscaping crew to maintain it. She cut that sop to his conscience the minute she hopped in the car with him.
"Low maintenance is key," she began. "I'd love to do whole rivers of color and texture, but you don't live here. No point in having all that, then needing to hire people to deal with it when you're only here off and on through the year."
"Right."
Anything she wanted, he told himself again. Anything.
"Next key is sticking to plants and grasses indicative of the beach and going for a natural look. It's going to be fun."
"You bet."
"It will."
She laughed and poked him.
"I'm going to enjoy this a lot. Plus, it goes in as my own little payback for the vacation. It's such a beautiful place, Dell. We're all so happy to be here."
"Payback? Come on, Emma."
"It feels good to do something to show appreciation. You're not taking that away from me, so don't even think about it. Boy, it's a gorgeous day. I can't wait to get started on this."
"It's nice to get away, relax. It's good for everybody."
"No argument from me."
"Dump the stress. We've all got it. Not just work, but outside sources bring it, too. Laurel going head-to-head with Linda added plenty for her."
"Oh, she told you about that. I wasn't sure she would."
Emma sat back as anger shifted over her face.
"It's lucky she caught Linda before she strolled right in Mac and Carter's place, but I don't like knowing she had to take Linda on alone."
"She handled it. Sent Linda off with a bug in her ear, but I know what you mean. She didn't have any backup when Linda went after her. She was so upset. That woman knows exactly where to slip the knife."
"Nothing Linda says means a damn."
"No, but words hurt, and she knows which ones to use. She's a predator, that's what she is, and she goes for the weak spots. She really piled it on with Laurel, first her father, then you, stab, stab, claw."
"Fathers or parents are weak spots with a lot of people. What Laurel's made of herself in a lot of ways despite them is something to be proud of."
"I completely agree, but it's easier for you and me because we didn't have to deal with despite. We always had love and support, and knowing your father was weak enough and just had the extremely bad taste, to have an affair with Linda is a tough one to swallow. And while Laurel's choking that down, Linda bitch-slaps her about how everyone's talking and laughing at her about you, about her delusions that you'd ever be serious about someone like her, and insults her with all that everyone knows she's after the Brown money and status anyway, because look where and what she comes from."
She paused a moment, just to seethe, and Dell let the silence ride as he turned it all over in his mind.
"Which tied it up in a big, ugly bow," Emma continued, "making her the pathetic gold digger and you the slime who's just banging his sister's friend because he can, and because that's exactly the way Linda thinks, she pushes that knife in with authority. It made Laurel cry, and you have to practically beat her with sticks to make her cry. If Linda hadn't been gone when I got there, I'd have... And oh, shit, shit! Laurel didn't tell you about this."
"She told me about Linda and running her off, but she left out several salient points."
"Damn it, Dell, damn it! You maneuvered me into telling you the rest."
"Maybe I did, but don't I have a right to know?"
"You may have the right to know, but I didn't have the right to tell you. You set me up so I'd betray a friend."
"You didn't betray anyone."
He pulled into the nursery lot, parked, then turned to her.
"Listen, how can I fix it if I don't know?"
"If Laurel wanted you to fix it..."
"Apparently Laurel gets pissed at the idea of my fixing anything, but leave that out for a minute. Linda's a problem, and she's a problem for all of us. But in this specific incident, she went after Laurel. She hurt her. Weren't you going to say you'd have taken her on over it yourself if you'd known at the time?"
"Yes, but..."
"Do you think I'm with Laurel just because I can be? That I'm sleeping with her because she's available?"
"No, of course not."
"But there's part of her that thinks so."
"That's not for me to answer, and it's not fair for you to ask me."
"Okay, I'll rephrase the question."
She yanked off her sunglasses so she could glare at him.
"Don't pull the lawyer crap on me, Delaney. I'm so mad at you right now."
"I needed to know." "She won't let me in this area." Part's pride, I think, but another's half believing it. And maybe that's my fault, or some of it's my fault. I got the idea it might be something along these lines yesterday, but I needed confirmation.
Good for you.
She started to wrench open her door.
He laid a hand on her arm.
Emma, by not knowing, not dealing with it or acting on it, I'm hurting her. I don't want to hurt her.
You should have asked her directly.
She wouldn't tell me. You know she wouldn't, not unless I have a way to push her into a corner over it. Now I do. Damn it, I hurt her yesterday by offering to pay for a bunch of groceries because I just didn't get it. It's not about Linda, though I'd already intended to deal with her and Will. It's about me and Laurel.
You got that part right.
She heaved out a sigh.
But you've put me in a hell of a spot, Del.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to keep you there by asking you not to say anything to her about this, not until I can talk to her. If she doesn't believe all the way in what we have, it's never going to work. It's never going to fit. And if I'm responsible for that, even part of the way, I have to make it right. So I'm asking for you to give me a chance to make it right.
God, you're good. How am I supposed to say no to that?
I mean it. She and I need to strip away some of the armor and some of the cushion and see what's under it. I want you to give me a chance to do that.
I love you both. And I want both of you happy, so believe me, Del, you'd better figure it out. Screw it up, or let her screw it up, and I'm blaming you.
That's fair. Are you going to stay mad at me?
I'll let you know after you talk to her.
Emma.
He leaned over, kissed her cheek.
Oh.
This time she heaved out a breath.
Let's go buy some plants.
He struggled to be patient as the scanning, scouting, selection took endless amounts of time. Plus, whenever he so much as thought about nudging her along, Emma simply shot him a steely stare. In the end, they loaded what they could in the car and arranged for the rest, and there was plenty of rest, to be delivered.
Take her down to the beach, Emma said on the drive back. Away from the rest of us. Don't try to talk to her about this in or around the house. Too many possibilities of interruption. If you're interrupted, she'll have a chance to regroup or evade.
That's a good point, thanks.
Don't thank me. I may not be doing it for you, I may be doing it only for her.
Either way.
A long walk, and believe me, if she comes back from it upset, I'm kicking your ass, or I'll have Jack do it.
I'm not sure he could kick my ass, but you could.
Keep that in mind, and don't screw this up.
She paused a moment.
Do you love her?
Of course I do.
She turned to him.
That's a stupid answer, a stupid thing to say. I really ought to kick your ass.
Why?
No.
She shook her head and stared straight ahead.
No more pointers. You have to deal with this yourself or it's not real. I'm going to stay out of the way. I'm going to start right in on these plants, so I'll be out of the way. That's the best thing I can do for both of you.
She bit her lip.
But don't say of course, you idiot.
Okay.
When he pulled up at the house, Emma was true to her word. She unloaded the tools they'd bought and dug literally right in. But plans to lure Laurel off for that long walk had to be postponed.
Laurel went off with Parker, shopping,
Jack told him.
Parker wanted some stuff for the house. She had a list. And there was talk about earrings. Max in the pool. Carter's down at the beach with one of his books. Mal's somewhere. I'm about to head down there.
Did they say when they'd be back, Laurel and Parker?
Dude, they went shopping. It could be an hour or 3 or 4 days.
Right.
Problem?
No, just wondering.
Jack slid on his sunglasses.
Beach?
Yeah, I'll come down in a bit. I guess I have to see if Emma wants some help before I go down. Thanks a lot for that.
Wait until the rest of it gets here. We didn't have room for most of it.
Great.
When they didn't come back in an hour, he fought off the first prickles of irritation. He paced the deck, going over various possible scenarios in his head, as he would before going into court. He heard Emma's voice, Jack's, Carter's, Max, Mal's, come and go. He spotted them on the beach, in the water, on the walkway. When he heard the group of them come in, probably digging up lunch, he went out for a solitary swim and more thinking. As the afternoon wore on, he considered calling Laurel's cell. He nearly gave in and did so when he finally saw Parker's car turn in the drive. He headed down while the two of them unloaded a mountain of shopping bags and giggled like a couple of kids with both hands in the cookie jar. He had no excuse for it, but it annoyed the hell out of him.
Oh, Emma, that looks fabulous!
Parker called out.
It absolutely does, and I'm not nearly done.
Take a break. Come see what we got. We had the best time. Hey!
Laurel stopped to shoot a grin at Dell. Just in time to help haul all this stuff, and God, it's way past time to start up the blender because shopping has made us thirsty for beach margaritas.
I was starting to get worried.
He heard the tone of his own voice, nearly winced.
Oh, don't fuss, Daddy. Haul!
She pushed bags at him. Em, we found the most amazing gift shop. We have to go back.
You mean they have something left?
Mal wandered over to take some bags.
I think we hit every shop within 50 miles, but we left a few things behind. Don't look so put out.
Laurel laughed at Dell. I bought you something. With no choice, he carried bags upstairs, and had to stand back while the women tore into them to show off their scores.
Why don't we take a walk on the beach?
He asked Laurel.
Are you kidding? I've walked 500,000 miles.
Must have margarita.
Who's in charge of the blender?
She called out.
Got that covered.
Mal headed off to the kitchen. Dell shot Emma a look, hopeful for a little help. She merely shrugged and went back to admiring the take. Payback, he thought.
Here.
Laurel offered him a box.
A memento.
Since he couldn't beat them, Dell settled down.
A sun catcher, she told him when he opened it. Recycled beach glass.
She reached out to finger one of the smooth, colored shards.
I thought you might like to hang it in your place, to bring back good times.
It's great.
He tapped a piece so several danced and clicked together.
It really is. Thanks.
I got a smaller one for my sitting room, couldn't resist.
They drank margaritas, talked about dinner. He couldn't budge her. Patience, he reminded himself. He managed to take his own advice until nearly sunset.
Walk, beach, you and me.
He grabbed her hand, pulled her toward the door.
But we're going to...
Later.
Pushy, she said, but linked her fingers with his. God, it does feel great out here. Look at the sky. I guess I owe the beach a visit since I spent most of the day shopping.
She flicked a finger at her newest earrings.
But now I have such pretty things to remind me of these 2 weeks. When we're socked in next winter, I'll be able to look around and say summer's coming back.
I want you to be happy.
Right now, your wish, my command. I am happy.
I need to talk to you, to ask you something.
Sure.
She turned, walking backward to look up at the house. Emma was right about the plants, the grasses.
Laurel, I need you to pay attention.
She stopped.
All right. What's wrong?
I'm not entirely sure. I need you to tell me.
Then nothing's wrong.
Laurel.
He took both her hands.
You didn't tell me that Linda came at you about me, about you and me.
He felt her hands go rigid in his.
I told you I dealt with Linda. Emma had no right to...
Not her fault. I maneuvered it out of her. She thought you'd told me the whole story, and you should have. More, Laurel, much more. You should have told me you felt any part of what she said might be true. If I've done or said anything to make you think that way...
You haven't. Let's forget it.
No.
He tightened his grip when she would have pulled her hands free.
She hurt you. And indirectly, so did I. I can't forget I had any part in hurting you.
Forget it, Dell. Absolved. I don't want to talk about Linda.
We're not. We're talking about you and me.
Damn it, Laurel, can't you be straight with me? Can't we be straight with each other? I am. I said it's nothing.
It's not. It's damn well not when you get so twisted up when I offer to pay for some damn groceries or a cake I've asked you to bake. It's not about that either, but what's under it.
And I said, clearly, you don't need to pull out your wallet. I won't have you hiring me.
Laurel.
His tone, utterly reasonable, stopped her.
I never intended that. Never. And you should know. You've said this has to be equal ground, but it can't be if you don't tell me what you want, what you need, what you're feeling.
How can you not know? She demanded.
Because you don't tell me.
Tell you? All this time, you can look at me, touch me, be with me, and not know?
She whirled away, spun back.
All right, all right. I'm responsible for my own feelings, and clearly it's stupid for me to wait and wait and hope you might see. You need me to tell you, I'll tell you. Equal ground? It's never going to be equal ground when you care about me and I'm so hopelessly in love with you. I've always been hopelessly in love with you, and you've never seen it.
Wait.
No, you want it straight? You'll get it straight. You're the one.
You've always been the one. Nothing I've ever done changed it. Moving to New York, working to find my way, making myself into something I could be proud of, but it was still there. Dell's the one. And whatever I do, whatever I accomplish, I'm still missing that. Trying to feel something real and important for other men? Temporary stopgaps or failures because none of them were you.
She yanked the hair out of her face as the wind blew it into her eyes.
I couldn't harden it out or reason it out of me. No matter how hurtful or humiliating or just plain infuriating, I dealt with it, then I changed it. I've changed it, Del.
You're right.
He reached out to brush the tears she rarely shed from her cheeks.
Listen,
I'm not finished. I changed things, but you're still trying. You always will try to take care of things, of me. I don't want to be your responsibility, your obligation, your pet. I won't have it.
For God's sake, I don't think of you that way. I don't feel that way. I love you.
Yes, you love me. You love all of us. And you had to step up to the front of the line when your parents died. I know that, Del. I understand. And I feel for you and what you had to take on. Being with you, I understand more. I feel more.
It's not about that.
In some ways, it's always about that. But it's different now with us. Or it should be. I'm okay with the way things are, or I was. Didn't I just tell you I was happy? What I need and want, if I have to tell you, give you a damn list, then it's not what I need and want. I'm not asking you for declarations. I'm not asking for promises. I can live in the moment and be happy in the moment. I'm entitled to be hurt and upset when someone like Linda scrapes me raw, and I'm entitled to keep it to myself until I grow fresh skin. I don't need you taking care of it. I don't need or want you to make it all better. I don't need you pushing at me about my feelings when I never push at you.
No,
he murmured.
You don't. Why don't you?
Maybe I don't want to hear the answers. No, I don't want to hear them, she said before he could speak. I don't want to hear what you have to say when I've ripped myself open and I feel like a fool. You can't expect me to. I need to walk this off. I need to pull myself together. You need to let me. You need to go away.
He watched her run down the beach. He could go after her, he thought. He could catch her, and he could make her listen. And if he did, she wouldn't hear him. He let her go. She needed more than words, he realized, and he wanted to give her more. She might have ripped herself open, he thought, but by doing so, she'd shown him very clearly what was inside him. She ran it off, walked it off, settled herself. The truth was, she'd come to understand, that moment on the beach would have happened at some time, at some place. She couldn't have coasted forever. Neither of them could or would. Better it happened sooner than later. If it ended things with Del, she'd heal. She knew how to tend her own wounds, accept her own scars. He'd be kind. She'd hate it. Then they'd move on, somehow. She went up to her room by the outside stairs, hoping to avoid everyone until morning. But her three friends waited for her. Emma rose.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I said anything to him about Linda.
It's not your fault, and it doesn't matter.
It is, and it does. I'm sorry.
It's my mother who set off the bomb, Max said. I'm sorry. He's my brother. Parker held out a hand.
I'm sorry. Well, we're a really sorry group.
Laurel sat on the bed.
Nobody's to blame, really. It just is what it is. But I think I'll skip the fun and games tonight. You can make an excuse, right? Headache, shopping fatigue, one too many margaritas.
Sure, but... Mac trailed off, looked at Parker and Emma.
What? What now?
Del's gone.
Parker sat beside her.
Gone? What do you mean, gone?
He said he'd be back in the morning, that he had to go take care of something. He made it sound like work, but...
Nobody bought that.
Laurel put her head in her hands.
Great. Just great. I told him to go away. Since when does he listen? Now everything's screwed up. I should have gone away. For God's sake, it's his house.
He'll be back.
Emma stepped over to rub Laurel's back.
He probably just wanted to give you a little space. You'll make up, honey.
It's not about making up. The things I said.
Everybody says rotten things when they're mad or upset, Mac told her.
I told him I loved him. Always had. That there'd never been anyone else. Basically, I ripped out my own heart and threw it at him.
What did he say? Parker demanded.
That's about the time I told him I didn't want to hear it and to go away. And I stalked off. Okay, I ran off.
He didn't come after you? Emma huffed. Idiot!
No, really. He knows enough to be sure I meant it. I didn't expect him to actually leave. You can know someone all your life, and they can still surprise you. Let's just try not to have this spoil everything. I think I'd be literally sick if it did. I just want to go to bed.
We'll stay with you, Emma murmured.
No, really. I'm going to bed, and you can all do me a favor by going out there and fostering the pretense that everything's fine. Situation normal. I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, Parker said before Emma could protest. If you need company or anything else, you just have to knock on my door.
I know. I'll be all right, and I'll be better in the morning.
If you're not and you want to go home, we'll go. Parker pulled her in for a hug. Or we'll kick the men out and stay, Mac told her.
Best friends ever. I'll be fine.
She stayed where she was when they left her, but knowing one of them would come back to check on her in an hour, she made herself get up, get ready for bed. She'd had her summer, she reminded herself. No one could ever take that away from her. She'd had the love of her life for a season. Not everyone could say the same. She'd survive. And because, even if they couldn't be lovers, they would always be family, she and Del would find a way to heal the rift. She lay in the dark and ached. Ached and ached. And she tried to comfort herself that it would get better with time. Then she turned her face into the pillow and wept a little, because she didn't believe it. The sea breeze whispered over her cheek like a kiss, sweet and soft. She sighed with it, wanting to cling to sleep, to cling to the numbness that came with it.
You need to wake up.
She opened her eyes and stared into Del's.
What?
Wake up, get up, come with me.
What?
She pushed at him, struggled to think. The light was the quiet, dull silver of pre-dawn.
What are you doing? Where did you go? What are you doing back?
Up. She tried to snag the sheet when he pulled it off, but missed.
You walked out on your friends. You left when...
Oh, just shut up. I listened to you. Now you'll listen to me. Let's go.
Where?
Down to the beach to finish this.
I'm not going down to the beach with you. We had our scene. Now it's done.
You are a contrary woman, Laurel. You can walk or I can drag you, but we're going to the damn beach. If you ask me why, I swear the dragging begins.
I need to get dressed.
He studied her tank and boxers.
You're covered. Don't test me, McBain. I haven't had any sleep and I've had a long drive. I'm not in the mood.
You're not in the mood. Isn't that something?
She swung her legs off the bed, planted her feet on the floor.
All right, we'll do this at the beach, since that's so important to you.
She slapped his hand away when he reached for hers.
I didn't have the best night either, and I haven't had coffee. Don't you test me.
She stalked out onto the deck, down the stairs.
You might as well settle down, he advised. There's no point being pissed.
I see points.
You usually do. Lucky I'm more even-tempered.
My ass. Who threatened to drag who out of bed in the middle of the night?
Nearly sunrise. That's pretty good timing, actually. I like it. New day dawning and all that.
He kicked off his shoes at the base of the beach steps.
We didn't get much farther than this last night, geographically. I think we can do better in other areas. Here's a start.
He spun her around, yanked her into a hot and possessive kiss. She shoved against him, met a solid and immovable wall. He let her go when she went stiff.
Don't,
she said, quietly now.
You need to look at me and listen to me, and Laurel, you need to hear me.
He took her by the shoulders, but gently.
Maybe you're right, and I don't see, but goddammit, you don't hear. So I'm looking and I'm seeing. You listen, and you hear.
All right, there's no point in us being angry over this, it's just...
You can't hear if you don't shut up.
Tell me to shut up again, she invited, with a dare in her eyes. He simply laid his hand over her mouth.
I'm going to fix this. Fixing things is what I do, who I am. If you love me, you're going to have to accept that.
He dropped his hand.
I can fight with you. I've got no problem with that.
Lucky for you.
But I hate that I hurt you by being careless on one hand and too careful on the other. It's a brown trade, I guess, trying to keep the balance.
I'm responsible
for your own feelings. Yeah. I don't know if you were always the one. I got used to looking at you and thinking about you another way, so I just don't know.
I understand that, Del. I do.
Be quiet and listen. You changed what was between us. You took the step, and I didn't see it coming. I can't be sorry for that when I'm so damn grateful for it. I don't know if you were always the one,
he said again.
But I know you're the one now. And I know you're going to be the one tomorrow and the next month, next year. And you're going to be the one for the rest of my life.
What?
You heard me. Need it simpler? It's you.
She looked at him, the face she knew so well, and saw. And in that moment, her heart simply flew.
I've loved you all your life, and that was easy. I don't know, not for certain, how long I've been in love with you. But I know it's not so easy. But it's right, and it's real. And I don't want easy. I want you.
I think... She laughed a little. I can't think.
Good. Don't think. Just listen. Listen and stop for once trying to project what I think and feel. I thought the logical thing was to take it slow, to give us both time to adjust to what happened between us, to what happened in me.
He took her hand, pressed it to his heart.
I thought you needed to catch up, so you were right about that. I didn't see. I should have. But you didn't see either. You didn't see how much I love you, how much I want you, how much I need you. I'll buy those two dogs if I want pets, and I already have a sister. That's not how I think of you. And it's sure as hell not how I want you to think of me. That makes us even. Even ground, Laurel. That's where we're standing.
You mean it.
How long have you known me?
Her eyes blurred, but she blinked them clear.
A really long time.
Then you know I mean it.
I love you so much. I told myself I'd get over you, and it was such a lie. I never would.
I'm not finished.
He reached in his pocket, watched her eyes go huge when he pulled out the box, opened it.
It was my mother's.
I know. Oh, God. Del.
I took it out of the vault a couple weeks ago.
Weeks ago,
she managed.
It was after the night at the pond. Everything had already changed direction, but after that night, really, after that day when you came to my office, I knew where we were, or where I wanted us to go. I had it resized for you. That was probably a little arrogant, but you'll have to live with it.
Del!
She couldn't get her breath.
You can't... Your mother's ring, Parker...
I woke her before I woke you. She's good with it. She said to tell you, don't be stupid. Our parents loved you.
Oh, damn it.
The tears simply flooded her face.
I don't want to cry. I can't help it.
You're the only one I've ever thought about asking to wear this. The only one I want to wear it. I've just driven all the way to Greenwich and back to get it for you. To give it to you because you're the only one. Marry me, Laurel.
I won't be stupid. Kiss me again first when I'm not wishing I didn't love you.
She felt the sea breeze on her skin, in her hair as their lips met, and the strong, steady beat of his heart against hers, and heard the whistles and cheers. Turning her head so her cheek rested on his, she saw the group gathered on the deck of the house above.
Parker woke everyone up.
Well, ours has always been a family affair.
He drew back.
Ready?
Yes, I'm absolutely and completely ready.
The ring he slid on her finger sparkled in the first beams of the sun while the eastern sky blossomed like a rose. A moment, she thought, to savor, then sealed their moment with another kiss.
This is the right time,
she told him.
This is a good place. Tell me one more time I'm the one.
You're the one.
He cupped her face again.
The only one.
The one, she thought, on this fresh new day. And the one through all the days after.
Hand in hand, they started back up the steps to share the next moments with family.
This book is over, but the story continues. Keep listening after the credits to hear the beginning of Happy Ever After, Book 4 in the Bride Quartet series, free.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Savor the Moment by Nora Roberts. Copyright 2010 by Nora Roberts. Performed by Angela Daw. Directed by Troy Harrison. Performance copyright 2010 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
And now, a free preview of Happy Ever After, Book 4 in the Bride Quartet series.
To my guys, Bruce, Dan, Jason, and Logan. Love sought is good, but given unsought is better. William Shakespeare. Beauty from order springs. William King. Prologue. Grief came in waves, hard and choppy, buffeting and breaking the heart. Other days the waves were slow and swamping, threatening to drown the soul. People, good caring people, claimed time would heal. Parker hoped they were right, but as she stood on her bedroom terrace in the late summer sun, months after the sudden, shocking deaths of her parents, those capricious waves continued to roll. She had so much, she reminded herself. Her brother, and she didn't know if she'd have survived this grieving time without Dell, had been a rock to cling to in that wide, wide ocean of shock and sorrow. Her friends, Mac, Emma, Laurel, a part of her life, a part of her, since childhood. They'd been the glue mending and holding all the shattered pieces of her world. She had the constant, unshakable support of their longtime housekeeper, Mrs. Grady, her island of comfort. She had her home. The beauty and elegance of the Brown estate seemed deeper, sharper to her somehow, knowing she wouldn't see her parents strolling through the gardens. She'd never again run downstairs and find her mother laughing in the kitchen with Mrs. G, or hear her father wheeling a deal in his home office. Instead of learning to ride those waves, she'd felt herself being swept deeper and deeper down into the dark. Time, she'd determined, needed to be used and pushed and moved. She thought, hoped, she'd found a way, not only to use that time, but to celebrate what her parents had given her, to unite those gifts with family and friendships. To be productive, she mused as the first spicy scents of coming autumn stirred the air. The Browns worked. They built and they produced and they never, never sat back to laze on accomplishments. Her parents would have expected her to do no less than those who'd come before her. Her friends might think she'd lost her mind, but she'd researched, calculated, and outlined a solid business plan, a sturdy model, and with Dell's help, a fair and reasonable legal contract. Time to swim, she told herself. She simply wouldn't sink. She walked back into the bedroom, picked up the four thick packets she'd set on her dresser, one for each of them for the meeting, though she hadn't told her friends they were coming to a meeting. She paused, took a moment to tie back her glossy brown hair in a tail, then simply stared into her own eyes, willing a spark to light in the deep blue. She could make this work,
No, no, they could make this work. She just had to convince them first. Downstairs, she found Mrs. Grady putting the finishing touches on the meal. The sturdy woman turned from the stove, gave her a wink.
Ready?
Prepared, anyway. I'm nervous. Is it silly to be nervous? They're my closest friends in the world.
It's a big step you're looking to take. A big one you'll ask them to take. You'd be foolish if you weren't a bit nervous.
She stepped over, took Parker's face in her hands.
My money's on you. Go on out. I've gone a little fancy, so you'll have hors d'oeuvres and wine on the terrace. My girls are all grown up.
She wanted to be, but God, there was a child inside her who wanted her mom and dad. The comfort, the love, the security. Outside, she set the packets on a table, then crossed over to take the wine out of its cooler, pour herself a glass. Then simply stood, holding the glass, looking out in the softening light over the gardens to the pretty little pond and the reflection of the willows mirrored on its surface.
God, do I want some of that!
Laurel bolted out, her sunny blonde hair brutally short, a new look her friend already regretted. She hadn't changed out of her uniform from her position as dessert chef at an upscale local restaurant. Her eyes, bright and blue, rolled as she poured her wine.
Who knew when I changed my schedule to make our girl night we'd get a last-minute lunch reservation for 20? The kitchen was a madhouse all afternoon. Mrs. G's kitchen, now.
She let out a huge groan as she dropped down to sit after hours on her feet.
It's an oasis of calm that smells like heaven. What's for dinner?
I didn't ask.
Doesn't matter.
Laurel waved it away.
But if Emma and Mac are late, I'm starting without them.
She spotted the stack of packets.
What's all that?
Something that can't start without them. Laurel, do you want to go back to New York? Laurel eyed her over the rim of her glass.
Are you kicking me out?
I guess I want to know what you want. If you're satisfied with how things are. You moved back for me after the accident, and...
I'm taking it a day at a time, and I'll figure it out. Right now, not having a plan's working for me, okay?
Well... She broke off as Mac and Emma came out together, laughing. Emma, she thought, so beautiful with her mass of hair curling madly, her dark, exotic eyes bright with fun. Mac, her bold red hair choppy in tufts, green eyes wickedly amused, lean and long in her jeans and black shirt.
What's the joke? Laurel demanded.
Men.
Mac set down the plates of brillant croûte and spinach tartlets Mrs. Grady had shoved into her hands on the way through the kitchen.
The two of them who thought they could arm wrestle for Emma.
It was kind of sweet, Emma insisted. They were brothers and came into the shop for flowers for their mother's birthday. One thing led to the other.
Guys come into the studio all the time.
Mac popped a sugared red grape into her mouth from the bowl already on the table.
None of them ever arm wrestle each other for a date with me.
Some things never change, Laurel said, raising her glass to Emma. Some things do, Parker spoke out. She had to start, had to move. That's why I asked you all to come tonight. Emma paused as she reached for the brie.
Is something wrong?
No, but I wanted to talk to you all at once. Determined, Parker poured wine for Mac and Emma. Let's sit down.
Uh-oh, Mac warned.
No uh-ohs, Parker insisted. I want to say first, I love you all so much and have forever and will forever. We've shared so much, good and bad. And when things were at their worst, I knew you'd be there.
We're all there for each other.
Emma leaned over and laid a hand on Parker's.
That's what friends do.
Yes, it is. I want you to know how much you mean to me, and want you to know that if any of you don't want to try what I'm about to propose, for any reason at all, it changes nothing between us. She held up a hand before anyone could speak. Let me start this way. Emma, you want your own florist business one day, right?
It's always been the dream. I mean, I'm happy working in the shop, and the boss gives me a lot of leeway, but I hope down the road to have my own, but...
No buts yet. Mac, you've got too much talent, too much creativity to spend every day taking passport photos and posed kid shots.
My talent knows no bounds, Mac said lightly, but a girl's gotta eat.
You'd rather have your own photography studio.
I'd rather have Justin Timberlake arm-wrestling Ashton Kutcher for me, too, and it's just as likely. Laurel, you studied in New York and Paris with the aim of becoming a pastry chef. An international sensation of a pastry chef. And you've settled for working at the Willows. She swallowed a bite of her spinach tart. Well, hey, part of that settling was to be here for me after we lost Mom and Dad. I studied, Parker continued, with the goal of starting my own business. I always had an idea of what it would be, but it seemed like a pipe dream, one I never shared with any of you. But over these last months, it's begun to feel more reachable, more right.
For Christ's sake, Parker, what is it?
Laurel demanded. I want us to go into business together. The four of us, with each of us running our own end of it, according to our field of interest and expertise, while merging them together under one umbrella, so to speak.
Go into business? Emma echoed.
You remember how we used to play Wedding Day? How we'd all take turns playing parts and wearing costumes, planning the themes? I liked marrying Harold best. Mac smiled over the memory of the long-departed Brown family dog. He was so handsome and loyal.
We could do it for real. Make a business out of Wedding Day.
Providing costumes and cupcakes and very patient dogs for little girls? Laurel suggested.
No. By providing a unique and amazing venue, this house, these grounds, spectacular cakes and pastries, heartbreaking bouquets and flowers, beautiful creative photographs, and for my part, someone who'll oversee every detail to make a wedding or other important event the most perfect day of the clients' lives. She barely took a breath. I already have countless contacts through my parents, caterers, wine merchants, limo services, salons, everything, and what I don't have, I'll get. A full-service wedding and event business, the four of us as equal partners.
A wedding business?
Emma's eyes went dreamy.
It sounds wonderful, but how could we...
I have a business model. I have figures and charts and answers to legal questions, if you've got them. Dell helped me work it out.
He's okay with it? Laurel asked.
Delaney's okay with you turning the estate, your home, into a business? He's completely behind me on this. And his friend Jack's willing to help by redesigning the pool house into a photographer's studio with living quarters above it, and the guest house into a flower shop with an apartment. We can turn the auxiliary kitchen here into your workspace, Laurel.
We'd live here on the estate?
You'd have that option, Parker told Mac. It's going to be a lot of work, and it would be more efficient for all of us to be on site. I'll show you the figures, the model, the projection charts, the works, but there's no point if any of you just don't like the basic concept. And if you don't, well, I'll try to talk you into it, Parker added with a laugh. Then if you hate it, I'll let it go.
The hell you will.
Laurel scooped a hand through her short cap of hair.
How long have you been working this out?
Seriously, actively? About 3 months. I had to talk to Dell and Mrs. G, because without their support it would never fly. But I wanted to put it all together before springing it on you. It's business, Parker said. It would be our business, so it needs to be formed that way from the ground up.
Our business, Emma repeated. Weddings. What's happier than a wedding?
Or crazier, Laurel put in.
The four of us can handle crazy. Parks?
Mac's dimples winked as she held out a hand.
I'm so in.
You can't commit until you've seen the model, the figures.
Yes, I can, Mac corrected. I want this.
Me too.
Emma laid her hand on theirs. Laurel took a breath, held it, released.
I guess that makes it unanimous.
And she put her hand on theirs. We'll kick wedding ass. Chapter 1 Crazy Bride called at 5:28 a.m.
I had a dream,
she announced while Parker lay in the dark with her BlackBerry.
A dream?
An amazing dream, so real, so urgent, so full of color and life. I'm sure it means something. I'm going to call my psychic, but I wanted to talk it over with you first.
Okay.
With the grace of experience, Parker reached over, turned her bedside lamp on low.
What was the dream about, Sabina?
She asked as she picked up the pad and pen beside the lamp.
Alice in Wonderland.
You dreamed about Alice in Wonderland?
Specifically, the Mad Hatter's tea party.
Disney or Tim Burton?
What?
Nothing. Parker shook back her hair, noted key words. Go on.
Well, there was music and a banquet of food. I was Alice, but I wore my wedding dress, and Chase looked absolutely amazing in a morning coat. The flowers, oh, they were spectacular. And all of them singing and dancing. Everyone was so happy, toasting us, clapping. Angelica was dressed as the Red Queen and playing a flute.
Parker noted down MOH for Angelica, the maid of honor, then continued to record other members of the wedding party. The best man as the White Rabbit, the mother of the groom as the Cheshire Cat, father of the bride, the March Hare. She wondered what Sabina had eaten, drunk, or smoked before going to bed.
Isn't it fascinating, Parker?
Absolutely. As had been the pattern of tea leaves that had determined Sabina's bridal colors, the tarot reading that had forecast her honeymoon destination, the numerology that had pointed to the only possible date for her wedding.
I think maybe my subconscious and the fates are telling me I need to do an Alice theme for the wedding, with costumes.
Parker closed her eyes. Well, she'd have said, and would say now, that the Mad Hatter's tea party suited Sabina to the ground. The event was less than 2 weeks away. The decor, the flowers, the cake and desserts, the menu, the works, already chosen. Parker said to give herself a moment to think. That's an interesting idea.
The dream says to me,
Parker interjected, the celebrational, magical, fairy tale atmosphere you've already chosen. It tells me you were absolutely right.
Really?
Completely. It tells me you're excited and happy and can't wait for your day. Remember, the Mad Hatter held his tea party every day. It's telling you that your life with Chase will be a daily celebration.
Oh, of course!
And Sabina, when you stand in front of the looking glass in the bride's suite on your wedding day, you'll be looking at yourself with Alice's young, adventurous, happy heart. Damn, I'm good, Parker thought as the crazy bride sighed.
You're right, you're right, you're absolutely right. I'm so glad I called you. I knew you'd know.
That's what we're here for. It's going to be a beautiful wedding, Sabina. Your perfect day. After she hung up, Parker lay back a moment, but when she closed her eyes, the Mad Hatter's tea party, Disney version, ran manically in her head. Resigned, she rose, crossed over to the French doors to the terrace of the room that had once been her parents'. She opened them to the morning air, took a deep breath of dawn as the sun took its first peek over the horizon. The last stars winked out in a world perfectly, wonderfully still, like a breath held. The upside of crazy brides and those of that ilk was wakefulness just before dawn, when it seemed nothing and no one but she stirred. Nothing and no one but she had this moment when night passed its torch to day, and the silvery light sheened to pearl that would shimmer, when that breath released, to pale, lustrous gold. She left the doors open when she walked back into the bedroom. Taking a band from the hammered silver box on her dresser, she pulled her hair back into a tail. She shed her nightshirt for cropped yoga pants and a support tank, chose a pair of running shoes off the shelf in the casual section of her ruthlessly organized closet. She hooked her BlackBerry to her waistband, plugged in her headphones, then headed out of her room toward her home gym. She hit the lights, flipped on the news on the flat screen, listening with half an ear as she took a few moments to stretch. She set the elliptical for her usual 3-mile program. Halfway through the first mile, she smiled. God, she loved her work. Loved the crazy brides, the sentimental brides, the persnickety brides, even the monster brides. She loved the details and demands, the hopes and dreams, the constant affirmation of love and commitment she helped to personalize for every couple. Nobody, she determined, did it better than vows. What she, Mac, Emma, and Laurel had taken head-on one late summer evening was now everything and more than they'd imagined. And now, she thought as her smile widened, they were planning weddings for Mac in December, Emma in April, Laurel in June. Her friends were the brides now, and she couldn't wait to dig deeper into those fine details.
Mac and Carter, traditional with artistic twists. Emma and Jack, romance, romance, romance. Laurel and Dell, God, her brother was marrying her best friend. Elegant yet streamlined. Oh, she had ideas. She'd hit mile two when Laurel came in. Fairy lights. Acres and miles and rivers of tiny white fairy lights, all through the gardens, in the willows, on the arbors, the pergola. Laurel blinked, yawned.
Huh?
Your wedding, romantic, elegant, abundance without fuss. Huh? Laurel, her swing of blonde hair clipped up, stepped on the machine next to Parker's. I'm just getting used to being engaged. I know what you like. I've worked up a basic overview. Of course you have. But Laurel smiled. Where are you? She craned her head, scanned the readout on Parker's machine. Shit! Who called and when? Crazy bride, just shy of 5:30. She had a dream. If you tell me she dreamed a new design for the cake, I'm going to... Not to worry, I fixed it. How could I have doubted you? She eased through her warm-up, then kicked in. Dell's going to put his house on the market. What? When? Well, after he talks to you about it, but I'm here, you're here, so I'm talking to you first. We talked about it last night. He'll be back from Chicago tonight, by the way, so... He'd move back in here, if that's okay with you. First, it's his house as much as mine. Second, you're staying. Her eyes stung, shined. You're staying, Parker repeated. I didn't want to push, and I know Dell's got a great house, but, oh God, Laurel, I didn't want you to move out. Now you won't. I love him so much I may be the next crazy bride, but I didn't want to move out either. My wing's more than big enough. It practically is a house. And he loves this place as much as you, as much as all of us. Dell's coming home, Parker murmured. Her family, she thought, everyone she loved and cherished, would soon be together. And that, she knew, was what made a home. By 8:59, Parker was dressed in a sharply tailored suit the color of ripe eggplants, with a hint of frill on her crisp white shirt. She spent precisely 55 minutes answering emails, texts, and phone calls, refreshing notes in various client files, checking and confirming deliveries with subcontractors on upcoming events. At the stroke of 10, she walked down from her third-floor office for her first on-site appointment of the day. She'd already researched the potential client. Bride, Deanne Hagar, local artist whose dreamy fantasy work had been reproduced in posters and greeting cards. Groom, Wyatt Culpepper, landscape designer. Both came from old money, banking and real estate, respectively, and both were the youngest child of twice-divorced parents. Minimal digging had netted her the data that the newly engaged couple had met at a green fest, shared a fondness for bluegrass music, and loved to travel. She had mined other nuggets from websites, Facebook, magazine and newspaper interviews, and friends of friends of friends, and had already decided on the overall approach of the initial tour, which would include the mothers of both. She scanned areas as she did a quick pass-through on the main level, pleased with Emma's romantic flower displays. She popped into the family kitchen where, as expected, Mrs. Grady was putting the finishing touches on the coffee tray, the iced sun tea Parker had requested, and a platter of fresh fruit highlighted with Laurel's tissue-thin butter cookies. Looks perfect, Mrs. G.
It's ready when you are.
Let's go ahead and set it up in the main parlor. If they want the tour straight off, maybe we'll move it outside. It's beautiful out. Parker moved in to help, but Mrs. Grady waved her off.
I've got it. I just put it together that I know the bride's first stepmother.
Really?
Didn't last long, did she?
Movements brisk, Mrs. Grady transferred the trays to a tea cart.
Never made the second wedding anniversary, if I remember right. Pretty woman and sweet enough. Dim as a 5-watt bulb, but good-hearted.
Mrs. Grady flicked her fingertips over the skirt of her bib apron.
She married again, some Spaniard, and moved to Barcelona.
I don't know why I spend any time on the internet when I can just plug into you.
If you had, I'd have told you Mac's mother had a flirt with the bride's daddy between wives 2 and 3.
Linda, not a surprise.
Well, we can all be grateful it didn't take. I like the girl's pictures, she added as they rolled the cart toward the parlor.
You've seen them?
Mrs. Grady winked. You're not the only one who knows how to use the internet. There's the bell. Go on. Snag us another client.
That's the plan. Parker's first thought was the bride looked like the Hollywood version of a fantasy artist, with her waist-length tumble of gilded red hair and almond-shaped green eyes. Her second was what a beautiful bride Deanne would make, and on the heels of it, just how much she wanted a part of that.
Good morning. Welcome to Vows. I'm Parker.
Brown, right?
Wyatt shot out a hand.
I just want to say, I don't know who designed your landscape, but they're a genius, and I wish it had been me.
Thank you so much. Please come in.
My mother, Patricia Farrell. Deanne's mom, Karen Bliss.
It's lovely to meet all of you. Parker took stock quickly. Wyatt took charge, but genially, and all three women let him. Why don't we have a seat in the parlor for a few minutes and get acquainted? But Deanne was already wandering the spacious foyer, scanning the elegant staircase.
I thought it would be stuffy. I thought it would feel stuffy.
She turned back, her pretty summer skirt swaying.
I studied your website. Everything looked perfect, looked beautiful, but I thought, no, too perfect. I'm still not convinced it's not too perfect, but it's not stuffy, not in the least.
What my daughter might have said in many fewer words, Ms. Brown, is you have a lovely home.
Parker, she said.
And thank you, Mrs. Bliss.
Coffee? She invited. Or iced sun tea?
Could we just look around first?
Deanne asked her.
Especially outside, as Wyatt and I want an outdoor wedding.
Why don't we start outside, then circle back through?
You're looking at next September,
Parker continued as she moved to the door leading to the side terrace.
A year from now, that's why we're looking at this time, so we can see how the landscape, the gardens, the light all work.
We have several areas that can be utilized for outdoor weddings. The most popular, especially for larger events, is the West Terrace and Pergola, but...
But?
Wyatt echoed as they strolled around the house.
When I see the two of you, I picture something a little different. Something we do now and then.
The pond, she said as they rounded to the back.
The willows, the roll of the lawns.
I see a flower-strewn arbor and white runners flowing like a river between the rows of chairs, white again, strung with flowers. All of that reflected in the water of the pond. Banquets of flowers everywhere, but not formal. More natural arrangements. Cottage garden flowers, but in mad abundance. My partner and our floral designer, Emmeline, is an artist.
Deanne's eyes took on a gleam. I loved what I saw of her work on the website.
You can speak with her directly if you decide to have your wedding with us, or even if you're just considering it. I also see fairy lights glittering, candles flickering. Everything natural, organic, but sumptuous, sparkling. Titania's bower. You'll wear something flowing, she said to Deanne. Something fairy-like, with your hair down. No veil, but flowers in your hair.
Yes, you're very good, aren't you?
It's what we do here. Tailor the day to reflect what you want most, what you are, individually and to each other. You don't want formal, but soft and dreamy. Neither contemporary nor old-fashioned. You want you, and a bluegrass trio playing you down the aisle.
Never-ending love, Wyatt supplied with a grin. We've already picked it. Will your artist of a florist work with us, not only on the wedding landscape, but the bouquets and all that?
Every step of the way. It's entirely about you and creating the perfect, even too perfect, day for you, she said with a smile for Deanne.
I love the pond, Deanne murmured as they stood on the terrace looking out. I love the image you've just painted in my head.
Because the image is you, baby.
Karen Bliss took her daughter's hand.
It's absolutely you.
Dancing on the lawn?
Wyatt's mother glanced over.
I checked out the website, too, and I know you have a gorgeous ballroom, but maybe they could have dancing out here.
Absolutely. Either, both, however you want it done. If you're interested, we can set up a full consult with my partners, discuss those areas and more details.
What do you say we take a look at the rest?
Wyatt leaned down to kiss Deanne's temple. At 4:30, Parker was back at her desk refining spreadsheets, charts, schedules. In concession to the end of the day's appointments, her suit jacket hung on the back of her chair, and her shoes sat under the desk. She calculated another hour's paperwork and considered the day a blissfully light one.
The rest of the week promised to be insanely jammed, but with any luck, by 6 she'd be able to change into casual clothes and treat herself to a glass of wine and actually sit down to a meal. She went, "Hmm?" at the rap on her door jamb.
"Got a minute?" Mac asked.
"I happen to have several on me. You can have one." Parker swiveled in her chair as Mac hauled in 2 shopping bags.
"I missed you in the gym this morning, but I see you've continued your weightlifting."
Grinning, Mac flexed.
"Pretty good, huh?"
"You're ripped, Elliot. You'll have show-stopping arms on wedding day." Mac dropped into a chair.
"I have to do justice to the dress you found me. Listen, I've sworn not to become Mad Bride or Weepy Bride or other various aspects of Annoying Bride, but it's getting close and I just need assurances from the goddess of all wedding planners."
"It's going to be perfect and exactly right."
"I changed my mind on the first dance again."
"It doesn't matter. You can change it up until the countdown."
"But it's symptomatic, Parks. I can't seem to stick to a basic item like a damn song."
"It's an important song."
"Is Carter taking dance lessons?"
Parker widened her eyes.
"Why would you ask me?"
"I knew it. God, that's so sweet. You got Carter to take dance lessons so he won't step on my feet during our first dance."
"Carter asked me to arrange it as a surprise, so don't spoil it."
"It makes me gooey."
Her shoulders lifted and fell with her happy sigh.
"Maybe I can't stick because I keep going gooey. Anyway, I had that off-site engagement shoot this afternoon."
"How'd it go?"
"Aces. They're so damn cute, I wanted to marry both of them. Then I did something stupid on the way home. I stopped by the shoe department at Nordstrom."
"Which I have already cleverly deduced by the shopping bags."
"I bought 10 pair. I'm taking most of them back, but why?"
We hope you enjoyed this free preview of Happy Ever After, Book 4 in the Bride Quartet series. To keep the story going, get the complete book today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.